Well, good morning, Thrive Church. So glad that you're here this morning worshiping with us. I just love that baptism time at the church, and that's really what it's all about. Jesus sets people free. And I don't know where you are in your faith journey this morning, but if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I'm telling you, it will change your life. It's the best decision you'll ever make. But it takes a heart that is surrendered. And I encourage you to do that today. Think about all that God has in store for your life. I want to continue on here in our sermon series called Step Up. We are looking at the book of James. I want to welcome all those in the 715 who are watching us online this morning. I saw some of you check in already. And it's just been it's been an encouraging sermon series. I know for me in preparing these messages, I have felt it's like James is like this football coach. It's like, come on, Miles, step up. Step up. There's more in you. You can do this. I need you to own this. And I hope that you have felt that same spirit, the Holy Spirit, speaking to you about stepping up in your faith. And the core passage that we have been using is James chapter 1, verse 4. He says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. That's really the challenge. It's challenges for us to mature, for us to grow in our life, to grow in our faith. And we have defined maturity. Maturity is when you begin to do what you know is true. When you begin to live out the principles that you know are true, that comes from God's word. And it's a challenge to not be the same. To not live a life of complacency, but to live a life of growth, a life of excellence. And it's interesting, as you look through the chapters, you see that he deals with so many issues in life. We talked about this in chapter 1, where we talked about problems. Problems are not fun, but problems, if we allow them, if we allow ourselves to become better and not bitter, they can actually grow us. And sometimes, yes, he challenges us to give God thanks for your problems. Can we just do that right now? Can we just give God thanks for our problems? I think we got a lot of mature believers, because I really didn't expect that much out of that. Nobody gives praise for the problems, but when you are maturing, you understand God is at work. And then chapter 2, we talked about our actions, that faith plus actions equals life. That faith, actions speak louder than our words. In chapter 3, we talked about how words matter. We talked about how we use our tongue and the things that we say, and that we have the ability to either speak life or we have the ability to speak death. And then last week we talked about warning signs, and James tells us this, and this was the core passage, James 4, 7 and 8. He says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. We're going to talk today about effective stewardship, but I want you to know we're going to continue on this series. Next week will be our last one in this series, and will be a Labor Day message, so I encourage you to come out for that. So James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. We're just going to look at those first few verses there today. And James is talking to a group of landowners, people who had a lot of wealth, people who had a lot of materials, a lot of possessions, a lot of power. And he's talking to these people, and he says this in James chapter 5, verse 1. He says, look here, you rich people. Look here. Look here. He's irritated with this group of people, because this group of people, they have been given so much, and they are doing so little good for others or for the kingdom of God with the blessings that have been given to them. And so he is highly frustrated with this group of people and how they've handled it. And it's like he's saying, you are so richly blessed, and yet you've been so wastefully ineffective with your blessings. And I just want to speak to every person here today. And I want you to know, each person in this room, whether you think it or not, whether you feel it or not, you're rich. You're rich. And those who are watching online, we need to just own it. We're rich. You're rich. There's three areas where God has made you wealthy, where he has blessed you. He has blessed you, number one, with your time. If you are breathing today, you are alive and kicking. Thank God for the time that he has given to you here on earth. It is a gift from God. It is a blessing from God. Each year, we are given 12 months. We're given 52 weeks, 365 days, 24 hours. And these are all gifts from God. They're blessings. You're rich. You're rich with time. In 2023, the World Factbook said the life expectancy of the U.S. a U.S. citizen is 79 years old. So it's 2023. This is 34th in the world. 34th. You would think that we would be a little bit more advanced than that. For men, the average age is 76, a little bit lower. And for women, it is 81. Ladies, you're stressing us out. You're stressing. Sorry. All right. Yes. We bring it on ourselves, don't we? Yes, we do. But yet God has given you, he's blessed you with your time. I mean, really, in this world, what is more valuable than your time? And yet God has blessed you. If you're alive today, it is a blessing. But this time has been given to you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Do you know that you have a purpose for your life? Amen. You have a purpose for your life. And God is saying, listen, I've given you this time to fulfill this person, to know God and to make God known. I say this a lot. Write it down. If you get anything out of this message, understand you have a purpose, and that is to know God and to make him known. How much of your time are you using to fulfill your purpose? The second thing that you are very rich in is your talent. If you are a Jesus follower here today, the Bible says that God gave you, when you accepted him into your life, he placed his spirit inside of you, and he gave you a spiritual gift. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm gifted. Now the other person say, I already knew that. I already knew that. You have a spiritual gift. It's a gift from God. It is of value. And there is a sense of fulfillment and joy. Many of us are here today when you were looking for fulfillment. We're looking for joy. God is saying, if you would just use that gift that I have given to you, you'll find the fulfillment and joy you're looking for. If you're here today and you've not taken the growth track of this church, in the growth track, in 301, you will take a test that will help you discover what your spiritual gifts are. But you can have that knowledge, but James says if you just have that knowledge and you don't do anything with it, that's what you call spiritual immaturity. But you're gifted. You are gifted to give. You are blessed to be a blessing. That brings me to my third one, is you have been given treasure. DailyMail.com says half of the world's richest people live in the United States. The richest people in all of the world live in the United States. He says, it says in this article, if you live in the U.S., you have a four-people family, and you take home after taxes is $34,000, you are in the richest 13% of the world's population. If your combined income is more than, if it is a combined income of $143,000, you are in the richest 1%. Of the world's population. You're rich. God has given you time. God has given you your talent. God has given you your treasure. I'm rich. I'm rich. All right, if you want to say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed by God. And so James, we bring it back to James. James is upset with these people because they're rich. They have been blessed. And they're not doing anything with it except for themselves. Here's three reasons. Here's three disappointing behaviors. He says, number one, you're being wasteful. You're being wasteful. Verses 2 through 3, he says, your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and silver have become worthless. The very wealth you were counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This treasure you have accumulated will stand as evidence against you on the day of judgment. You see, they have so much. They have so much in their stockpiles that they have been given, and it's just sitting over there, rotting away. They have fine clothes that are just rotting away, jewelry that is just becoming tarnished. They have so much just being wasted that could be used for so much more. You know, I looked this up about waste in the United States. It is estimated that 30 to 40% of the world of the food supply in this country is wasted annually. 30 to 40%. This is approximately 133 billion pounds of food. A financial loss of roughly $161 billion wasted. Households contribute the majority of this waste. Eat your vegetables. But you know, more than food and material possessions, I was a youth pastor for several years and a pastor, even a parent. And I'll tell you, there's no greater waste than, and I believe that this is God's, what breaks his heart the most. I think the greatest waste is wasted potential. Wasted potential when somebody has been given so much. And they're wasting away their life in drug addiction, alcohol addiction, porn addiction, selfishness, rebellion, just doing their own thing. Waste. The second thing is that he's upset with them. He says, it's not only you're being wasteful, but you're withholding. You're withholding from others. Verse 4, he says, for listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The wages you held back cry out against you. The cries of those who harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of heaven's army. I just imagine here, those who are employed by somebody, just imagine that you go to work and they say, hey, this upcoming paycheck, yeah, it's not going to happen. And the one after that is probably not going to happen either. As a matter of fact, we're not sure. And, well, what's the number one question you're going to ask? Why? Why? And just imagine you because your employer says, because I don't want to. I don't want to. How many of you, you got some problems here? How many, you got some rather not nice thoughts about your boss, your employer, the person who pays you. All of a sudden, you know, what are your thoughts that go through your greed? Like, this person's being greedy. They're keeping it all for themselves. It's not fair. That's not right. But that's what's happening here. That's what James is pointing out. He says, you have employees that you owe. They are living paycheck to paycheck, and you're being greedy. You're being greedy. And that's not fair. That's not right. You are withholding from others. And if we're not careful, we can do the same thing. We can come to church and I just want to come and take it all in for myself. I know I have gifts. I know I have abilities to share with others, but I want to keep it to myself. It's the same principle. We are withholding from others. I'm not talking to my neighbor. I'm not sharing Jesus with my neighbor because I don't want anything to happen to my salvation. So I go into defensive mode. It's a dangerous place to be. We can become just like these people that James is disgruntled about. And the third thing he's saying is, you know what your problem is? You just want more. You just want more and more of this world. You are discontent. Verses 5 and 6, he says, you have spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying every desire. You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. In other words, he's saying, everything that you spend is all for yourself. And yet, all that you have is not enough. You ever gotten to that place where, like, if I just had that one thing that I want on Amazon, if I just had that one thing, I wouldn't want anything else. And then you get that one thing, and it's the coolest thing in the world for a day. And then you look at somebody else, and you look at what they have, and you're like, oh, it'd be cool if I had one of those things. And all of a sudden, the mind goes into this game, if I only had that. And I think that's what Paul or James is pointing out here. It's not enough. It's never enough. And that's really our sinful nature. I want this, but that's not enough. And I want more, and it's not enough. And James' challenge here is, his challenge, his question is asking to the people in this church here, and he's asking us here today, what are you doing with what you've been given? What are you doing with the time that's been given to you? What are you doing with the talent that God has given to you? What are you doing with the treasure that God has given to you? Are you being wasteful? Are you withholding from others? Do you find yourself in a constant state of wanting more? The challenge of James 5 is to call us back to live as God's stewards. Everybody say the word steward. Steward. A steward is this. It's a person who acts as the surrogate of another or others, especially by managing property, financial affairs, and estate, etc. So my wife and I, we've had a financial advisor here for several years, somebody who it is their responsibility for. We give them our part of our wages, and then they take those wages, and it is their responsibility to build and to invest those wages in the stock market, so that it prepares us for retirement, so that when we do retire, I mean, I don't know if you retire from ministry or not, but when you do retire, you have a finances. Everybody understands the principle of a financial advisor. Well, a steward is somebody who takes something that is not theirs, not for them to possess, but to invest. Did you catch that? Not for them to possess, but to invest. Hugh Mitchell says this, stewardship is the commitment of oneself and possessions to God's service, recognizing that we do not have the right of control over our property or ourselves. You see, as Jesus followers, if you're a Jesus follower, you raise your hand this morning. Yeah, lots of Jesus followers in the house here. Some of you are thinking about making that decision, best decision ever. But if you are a Jesus follower, you are a steward. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a steward. I'm a steward. All that you have been given, all that I have been given is not mine. My blessings that I receive, and how many of you are living a blessed life? Raise your hand if you're living a blessed life. By the way, those blessings, they're for you, but they're not just for you. You see, you're blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed by God to be a blessing to others. And our responsibility is to use what God has blessed us with to help grow the kingdom of God. So I want to talk about this article that I read. A man by the name of Bill Peel, in this article, Four Principles of Biblical Stewardship. This is from Leadership and Stewardship magazine, our website. And he wants us to understand four principles. I'm going to talk about these four stewardship principles that we need to grasp. If we just confess that all of us are stewards, everybody raise my hand, I'm a steward of God. We need to understand these four principles this morning. First of all, and I'm going to tell you this one, and you're not going to like it. You're not going to like this first. I'm just preparing you for it. So I'll tell you one, two, three, and you can hold your ears. You might not want to hear it. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't get this first one, you won't get the rest. You catch it? If you don't get this first principle, all the others will not make any sense whatsoever. You have to get it. You have to get it, okay? Is everybody ready? On a count of three. One, two, three. It is the principle of ownership. And some of you are like, yeah, I like to own. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to understand this, okay? Just hang on to your seats. Hang on, okay? Because this is going to bother. There's going to be a part of you, this is going to, we really should put seatbelts in these chairs. We really should. We should. Understand this. Everybody say everything. Everything that you think you own is not yours. Now let's just stop right here. Let's just be transparent. There's a part of that, it kind of bothers you, right? Because we want control. And there's a part of me that wants more. And if it's not mine, then whose is it? Well, that's a good question, because Deuteronomy 10:14 clearly tells us, look, the highest heavens and the earth and everything, it all belongs to the Lord your God. Man, I'm telling you, if you will grasp this, you will discover so much freedom in your life. If you'll grasp this principle, this stewardship principle, it all, everything, your house, your car, your hobby, your fishing boat, your computer, your 401k, your savings account, your family, your children, it all belongs to God. And if we are stewards, it is all on loan from Him. Look at Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Again, I'm telling you, when somebody pointed this out to me years ago, it challenged me. It was just, oh. And all of a sudden, then if it's not mine and it's His, I need to take care of it. I need to be, my wonder James is so worked up here. My wonder, because man, I'm wasting a lot. There's a lot of wasteful potential that's going on in my life. You see, in the beginning, if we go back to the beginning in our Bible, we go to the book of Genesis, and we see about God's creation. God created the heavens and the earth. He created man. And then man made some decisions, but we know that God gave him authority over the garden, and that they were to work the garden, and everything they were to take care of. And so that same principle is here today. The earth is God's, but it is for us to take care of, for us to be stewards of this. Again, the fundamental principle of a biblical stewardship is God owns it all, and we are simply managers on His behalf. Even the Apostle Paul, it goes deeper. The Apostle Paul goes deeper, and he says, this includes your life. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, don't you realize that your body, your life, he's talking about your life here, okay, is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. You are not your own. You are not. That's why it's just so important that we live a life of purity and holiness, that we're mindful of the things that we put into our minds, into our hearts, because I'm His. I'm His. And when you invited Jesus into your life, you invited Him to be the Lord of your life. In other words, the other word for Lord is boss. A lot of people don't like that word. So you invited Jesus to be the leader of your life, to give Him permission to direct your life. And He gave up His life so that you could have spiritual life. We no longer live for ourselves. We now live for Him. And I'm telling you, there's a part of us, our sinful nature, that just rejects that. Like, but I'm going to tell you, and you know it's true. I know it's true. You can live any way that you want besides living in Christ,
But you're not going to find the peace you're looking for. You're not going to find the joy you're looking for. You're not going to find the fulfillment you're looking for. All of those things can only be found when we make Him Lord of our lives. You see, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, therefore, if we are God's, to take care of ourselves. You have a responsibility to take care of your life mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. You have a responsibility, just like they worked in the garden. You need to take care of this garden that God has given to you. I don't know how many of you watch this, but around May or April, they have the Kentucky Derby. Have you ever watched the Kentucky Derby? I don't know, just kind of fun, kind of a fun event to watch. And each one of those horses are worth like a gazillion dollars, okay? And they're known as thoroughbreds. They're pure. There's just so much involved in their lives. And just imagine that somebody has given you one of these thoroughbreds for you to take care of. And they give you everything that you need to take care of them properly for this order. Your responsibility is to just make sure that it is race ready at any time. Okay? Now, with that responsibility, I gotta be careful what this horse eats. I gotta make sure that this horse gets some exercise. I gotta make sure that it is living in the proper living conditions, and I need to, make sure hay and straw and everything that a horse exercise, everything that a horse needs, I need to take care of. Do you know that you are a thoroughbred? How much more valuable are you in God's eyes than one of those racing horses? And I would ask you today, are you taking care of your body, taking care of your life like you would take care of one of these racing horses? C.S. Lewis said this, every faculty you have, your power of thinking or moving your limbs from moment to moment is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your life exclusively to His service, you could not give Him anything that was not, in a sense, His own already. Your house, your car, your family, everything. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. Principle number two is the principle of responsibility. Some people say, well, Pastor, what about my rights? What about my rights as a Jesus follower? Don't I get to kind of do with these things what I want? I just want you to know, owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. Let me say that one more time. If you're here today, but what all these things? What do I get out of it? Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. You see, we are responsible for what we have been given. Listen to what Jesus says here, Luke 12:48. When someone has been given much, just raise your hand if you've been given much. You've been blessed, okay? If someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when somebody has been entrusted with much, how many of you have been entrusted with much? Been entrusted with much? I'll raise my hand. Even more will be required. You know, we're coming up on football season here and watching the Packers play. And yes, yesterday was a preseason game, and there were some people that they had invested, that they had drafted in, and man, they are really doing good. I mean, like our field goal kicker, finally, the Packers have a reliable field goal kicker. Yeah. And so much is being invested into these players, but there's an expectation when the game is on the line that we can trust these players. And it's the same principle here, that when God says, hey, I've invested into you, and there's going to come a day or there's going to be a time where I trust you're going to follow through because you have a responsibility. Our responsibility is this. It's this thing called the Great Commission. How many of you ever heard of the Great Commission? In other words, it's a great assignment. Military terms, it is a great mission that you have been given. And what is our mission? Therefore, Jesus says this, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we just did some of that today. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You have a responsibility, people. We have a responsibility to take this Jesus that we have inside of us, and we have a responsibility to go into all of the world, into your workplace, into your neighborhood, into your family. We have a responsibility to not keep this Jesus to ourselves. And that's why we're so passionate. Well, if you've been a part of this church for a little while here, we take every third Sunday, we call it Impact Sunday. And we get some folks up here, and we're saying, hey, we want to partner with you to go into all the world and share Jesus with the rest of the world. And not only that, not only do we do impact, but we're going to take a team this fall to Moldova. We took a team to Thailand and El Salvador because we have a mission. We're on a mission, a co-mission, to go into all of the world and share the gospel. And we have this responsibility to make disciples. A disciple is one who follows after and learns to become like Jesus. And we have this discipleship process called life groups. And this fall here, in just a few weeks, we're going to encourage everybody to get into a life group. And there's going to be a group of people, not anybody more spiritual than anybody else, but we're going to get together and we're going to study God's word and we're going to pray for each other. We're going to encourage each other. We're going to build community and we're going to grow stronger in our faith when we grow together. You know where we learn that principle? Jesus. When you read the Gospels, you see that he discipled people through relationships. And we're going to baptize people. And we're going to teach people to live what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. Listen, this is one of those belt buckle moments, okay? So here we go. I'm going to make this statement here. This Great Commission is not the job of your pastor. This is not my job. It's the responsibility of the church. Can I just say that one more time? This Great Commission thing that I just talked about, it's not my job. It's our responsibility. Because you know people I don't know. You go to places I would never go to, in your workplace, wherever. I don't live in your neighborhood. God has placed you in that place for such a time as this. Here's the third principle of accountability. In Matthew 25, man, this is a powerful parable, the parable of the talents. And what we have here is a story Jesus tells us, and there was this master, and he had three servants, and he gave different amounts. Talents was a money thing, but he gave them different amounts according to their abilities. So each and every one of you have been given different amounts, different abilities, different giftings, each and every person in this room. But he talks about three of them here. And so it says, so he gave it to them to steward it, to go out and to invest. And then it says that he came back. After a period of time, he came back to have an account. He says, after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they used this money. The first two servants went out and they doubled. And he said, and his response to them is, well done, good and faithful servant. Faithful. You've been faithful with what you've been given. But the third servant, he hid it. He kept it all to himself. He didn't do anything. He just went, I didn't want to lose it. Don't be one of those Christians. We're like, I don't want to be around those people because I don't want to lose what Jesus gave me. No. You're called to give that to other people. And Jesus says, you wicked and lazy servant. And I want you to know one day, each and every one of us will stand before Jesus and the question will be asked, what did you do with what I gave you? We will give an account. And here's the last principle, the principle of reward. Colossians 3:23, the Apostle Paul gives us the secret to spiritual reward. If you want to have reward in heaven, He says, work willingly at whatever you do. You know what, you know, another phrase for that is go all in. Go all in with this mission that God has given to you. I'm going to go all in for knowing God and making him known. And I'm going to willingly do it. And when you say willingly, what that means is I'm going to surrender my will for his will. So tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to go to the Lord and say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do. I'm going to, whatever it is you want me to do. When was the last time you prayed a dangerous prayer like that? And I'm going to work willingly as though I was working for the Lord rather than for people. You know what the challenge is Paul has given us here? Listen, we've got to stop this. And I'm tempted to fall into this area. Maybe you are too. But we've got to stop being people pleasers. And we've got to start being people who are God pleasers. I'm going to live my life to please my God. And because a lot of times when you please God, you're going to frustrate some people. You're going to disappoint some people. But I want to be a Jesus follower. I want to be a Jesus pleaser. And then he says, remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And when I think about rewards, I'm telling you, this world has no reward that I desire more than my reward in heaven. And the greatest reward that I believe that a person can receive is from the master you are serving, which is Christ. When he says to us, I want to live for the well done. He says here in Matthew 25:21, this is from the parable of the talents. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. When I die and I go to heaven, I stand before Jesus. What do you think, man? What do you think? I want to hear those words. Well done. Nice job. Man, I gave you a little, and you took that little, and you worked it out for my glory. And then I gave you a little bit more. Man, you just consistency. And then you had some times where you slipped up, but then more. He says, you have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Isn't that what it's all about? So this morning, we're called to be stewards. Remind you that God owns it all. It's not yours. Whatever you have in this life, it's not yours. Number two, you have a responsibility. You are a steward and you're responsible. What are you doing with what you've been given? You are a steward and you will one day be held accountable for what God has given to you. You are a steward and God has for you a reward. So I ask you again, as we close out, what are you doing with what God has given to you? If I was to challenge you today, I would speak to those persons who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. In other words, you've not surrendered your all to him. I'm telling you, this best life that I'm talking about, it all starts there. Jesus changes everything. The way you think, the way you act, the way you feel, the person that you are, he changes everything. I encourage you to take that step of salvation today. Today is the day of salvation. If you would like to pray and ask Jesus into your life, will you just pray along with me? Just say, God, I need you. I'm inviting you to come live inside of me. Forgive me of my sins. I choose today to make you the Lord and Savior of my life. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer, you have made the best decision ever. Can we just give praise to God right now? If you have prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you, we want to help you move forward in your faith journey. I encourage you to go to the guest center in the back, and they have a Bible that is going to, it's called a New Believer's Bible, and it will help you in your faith journey. For all of us stewards out there, can I just pray for you? I know this passage, it bothered me all week. It's still bothering me. I hope it's bothering you. I think it's supposed to. But it challenges my faith that God has more in store for my life, and I want to be obedient with that. So can I just pray a prayer of blessings over all of the stewards in the house today? In Jesus' name, Lord, as stewards today, God, we recognize that you have given it all. You've given us all, Lord, and it's all yours. Father, today I take responsibility. I recognize that, Lord, one day I'll be held accountable, and Lord, I want to live for the well done. I pray that that would be my prayer today, and that would be the prayer of this church, that lives would be changed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Can we just give God praise today?